Well, good afternoon. Hey, you're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. And also, whoops, I squealed his phone. Ron Feynman.
That's right.
Ron Feynman is on the air.
Yes.
How you doing? Did you listen to any of our show before you came on?
No, unfortunately I was busy, but no, I want to congratulate you on your new puppy, Buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Buddy is really doing well, and he's kind of a cute guy, too. I like him.
Now, yes. He's
not nearly as smart as Cheyenne was, so...
he's young.
Yeah, he's only three, and so when he sleeps with me at night, he doesn't give me very good knowledge. He doesn't really even talk to me much anymore.
Well, he doesn't know you too well yet.
That's
give
right.
him time.
Yeah, he's keeping his lips tight until he knows who I am, right?
Yeah, well, because he's been through trauma, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit of trauma. Yeah, he's a rescue dog. It wasn't bad trauma. I mean, it wasn't like he was beaten or anything, but...
terrible. That happens. Anyway, so what was on this morning that's of interest? That
well, now the about? Question... Now, this is completely different than what I put on our ad, but the question was... it's kind of related to what we put on the ad. I talk about the Democratic congressmen and women from Texas flying out of Texas to go to Washington, D.C. to avoid having a quorum so they couldn't vote in the voter suppression thing. Now, Scott asks why he thinks it's bad because it's against the law. I told him...
I don't think it's against the law at all.
Oh,
if it was
really?
Against the law, they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, I said... There are times we have to break the law for civil disobedience.
Yes.
And I think that's, if it is against the law, that's what's going on.
Now, and promoting against democracy requires whatever has to be done. And it's not violent, but it's definitely taking a stand, and I commend these people. And I believe they will not be able to be arrested or fined at the end. I think in a court they would not, I don't think the state government, which is acting like a dictatorship, would be able to do it.
Well, now, Scott brings up an interesting point, and I can't remember the governor's name in Texas, but...
Greg Abbott, who is just trying to look more extreme right-wing because of Alan West, who's running against him for the nomination.
Okay.
But they're both fascists, and they're disgraceful people, and Texas needs to wake up.
Well, he brings up an interesting point. Abbott has been crowing so long that if they do this, they're going to be thrown in jail, and they're going to hunt them down, and they'll be in deep trouble.
Yes, sure.
He will have egg on his face if he doesn't do that when they come back. My point is, hopefully by the time they come back, law will have at least pretty much passed in the national law against this voter suppression, and what they've walked out for will have actually taken effect, and why would he want to arrest them after the fact?
Because he's a tyrant, that's why. The mentally, and by the way, he's disabled. He's in a wheelchair. You would think he'd have a little more compassion for people who are not as well off as him or not as able to have the rights that he has, but he's a monster. He really is.
Well,
and also the state attorney general starting lawsuits against other states about the election, and he himself is under indictment. Texas has corrupt leadership that is really should be in prison themselves.
Worse than Florida? Your state?
In that sense, yes, because we don't have a state attorney general who is under indictment. We have a governor who's an outrage, but actually I think at this point Abbott is worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Although they're both horrendous.
I
and they both want to be president. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to be president.
Do you think... who do you think Trump will support for president? I know.
Oh, of course. But he'll be indicted and he will not be able to run. After that, I have no clue. Because he's even annoyed now at Ron DeSantis because he didn't show up at his Sarasota rally because of the Surfside disaster. And he was asked by Ron DeSantis not to hold that rally, so shortly after the Surfside disaster, but he went ahead and did it anyway. He's also annoyed at Brett Kavanaugh because he didn't bother to back his stand on the election. So, you know, he sees everybody as an enemy, including his own family. His own children are going to turn against him now, it looks like, and so is his former CFO, Weisselberg, because he's now abandoning him. He's abandoned Giuliani. Everybody who does anything for him, he abandons. Anybody who dares to challenge anything he says, he is mentally ill, and he needs to be incarcerated and put in a mental institution. I really mean that the man is a threat to society, and now with August 13th coming up, this talk that on Friday the 13th, it happens to be August 13th, that he's going to be reinstalled as president, I think it was a mistake to take down the fence around Capitol Hill. I think it really was, and I'm worried about it now.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they did it again.
They're capable of it. And I think that it's time to arrest him for having incited, I'm sorry, the former president, for having incited what happened. And then you have people saying crazy things like Megyn Kelly saying it wasn't much of anything.
Yep.
She was a big star for a while on Fox News and then on NBC. These people are mentally disturbed. They are fascists. They're dangerous.
I don't understand why so many, right now, so many Republicans support outright lies. They've been proven wrong. They're not true. And that's kind of disappointing to me because I do, like I've said before, I do have a lot of friends that are Republican, and I used to be a Republican. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on my show, I'm going to play Eisenhower's speech. I think it was his final speech. Yes, it was his final speech.
His farewell address.
His farewell address. And I think people understand why I was Republican then.
Well, that was a different era.
Yeah.
Look, there were Republicans in the U.S. Senate in the 60s and 70s that were also very good people, and I liked a lot of them.
Yeah.
But now the Republican Party, I mean, the only people we can admire are a few people, and, you know, only a very few, and even they, in most cases, are not willing to speak up too much, but they don't support Trump, but they stay quiet. Only a person like Liz Cheney, of all people, or Adam Kinzinger really has guts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, one of the questions that Scott asked me before we got off the air is, couldn't he do an executive order that would override all these state orders of suppression?
No, it has to be legislation, like the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which has been decimated. Now it has to be brought back.
Yeah.
If he could have done that, he would have already. But you can't do everything by executive order. Certain things you can, but not everything.
What do you know? What where the line is on executive orders?
I'm not a constitutional law expert, but all I can say is if he could do that, it would have been done. But there are other things he can do, but he cannot, on voting rights, do that. That was legislation in the past, the 15th Amendment, which then was abrogated, broken, and then the Voting Rights Act, which was cut back by the Supreme Court in 2013 in Shelby County versus Holder, and now again has been cut back further. The Supreme Court is a disgrace, and it's really anti-democratic, and it's in bad shape right now.
That's
why I think we need to expand the Supreme Court.
I was going to ask that. Do you think that's a possibility now that...
The question to get it done is the problem. I think it could be done, but the question is, again, with the filibuster. I think the filibuster has to have a carving out where we can get voting rights through. Not necessarily get rid of the filibuster, but carve out, as James Clyburn of South Carolina is suggesting. But
he's not suggesting. He's pretty much telling the president he better do it, from what it sounded like last night.
Well, but it's not him alone. It's Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
Yeah.
You know, and they're still very stubborn. We're not sure what's happening, but apparently they are speaking to, you know, to civil rights leaders. They're speaking to each other, and there are a lot of things behind the scenes, and Chuck Schumer is, I think, doing a good job, and it could be we'll be surprised if they get the 50 votes plus one, and maybe we even get one or two Republicans like Lisa Murkowski, who now has been informed that the state party in Alaska has repudiated her and backed her opponent for the nomination. But in 2010, she was repudiated, and she won as an independent write-in, so I don't think she's going to be stopped.
Well, I'm surprised she still hangs with the Republican Party, period. She's been rejected by the party so often.
No, I think she's a profile in courage. She's one of the few Republicans you can really admire, you know. But in Ohio, look what's going on in Ohio, where we're having, you know, J.D., what's this, J.D., I've got what his name is for the moment.
Yeah, I have too.
You know, the writer, I'm trying to look it up as I'm talking here. You know, he's being opposed by Josh Mandel, and they're trying to take over the seat of Rob Portman. And honestly, it's really a terrifying situation to think that we would have Rob Portman, who is a reasonably decent guy, be replaced by one of these two people. And I just hope that would not happen.
Well, I just sent an email to Mr. Portman and asked him to vote the right way on these two federal bills.
Yes.
But I don't know about you. I write to or call my representatives a lot, and I have yet to get anything but the standard, thank you very much. Your congressman is very happy to... Our senator is very happy to listen to your... And we appreciate you, and, you know, it's the same old thing, time and time again. Now, I will say that Sherrod Brown is a little bit better with that.
Well, Sherrod Brown's also a liberal, and he's a Democrat, you know. But I'm saying J.D. Vance.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah, and here's a man who says that he always opposed Trump, but now he's learned that he has to suck up to him. He actually said that.
Yeah, I heard that.
And Josh Mandel is a nightmare. So many people I know quite a few people in Cleveland, they really think his family is a disgrace. But one or the other will be the nominee, probably, but against Tim Ryan, who I think should be the man who should be elected, the Democrat, who should be the Democratic nominee. But it's just very scary. And then in Oklahoma, I have this in an article in my blog, Senator Lankford, who's a solid conservative but not crazy, has been condemned by the state Republican Party and now faces a primary to kick him out. This is really crazy. And, of course, Alan West, the former head of the Texas Republican Party, who happens to be African-American and was a one-term nightmare in Florida a decade ago, is now challenging Greg Abbott for the nomination, as if Abbott is not conservative enough.
Jeez.
This is crazy.
Well, you know, they may eat their own young. It may come down to they kill each other. And maybe that's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah, I would think Rob Portman, being who I have respect for, I would think that now that he's leaving office, why wouldn't he do the right thing to vote for the Voting Rights Act and make it more than a 50-50? Because it doesn't mean we would have a filibuster to overcome, not that, but just to have a few Republicans supported at the end. You know, I would think so. What's he going to lose? You know?
My wife asked the exact same question of me, and I said, the only thing I can think of is that Rob Portman has eyes on some other political position that he'd like to hold or go for.
So. Well, he's already been budget director under the second Bush. He's leaving the Senate now. He's in his 70s. I really do not know what he would go for. He's not going to go for governor. He's made that clear.
No.
So what could he possibly become? I just don't see it. I think he's tired of politics. He's had an interesting career. And if he's leaving the Senate, he could have tried for another term. Actually, 65, I'll look up. No, he's actually only 65. You may have a point.
I don't know
what he would go for, because he's got a Democratic president, not a Republican, where he could be a cabinet member.
You know, maybe he's waiting for, what is it, February,
2024?
Maybe he's waiting for the Friday the 13th when the ex-president's going to come back and take everything back.
Imagine
surely he's not that ignorant.
And the pillow guy, Mike Lindell, is saying he's coming back that day.
Yeah.
That man definitely needs to be put into a mental institution. He's nuts, you know?
It's so sad, the situation that that we're all in right now. I mean, the Republicans and Democrats are in the same kettle of fish.
It should be illegal and unconstitutional for any party to want to take away people's right to vote. That is guaranteed by the 15th Amendment to the Constitution. It's just unbelievable that anybody would be going around saying that that these people don't have a right to leave. They have a right not to allow such legislation to become law. It's illegal and unconstitutional.
I remember the last time people argued about people that weren't being able to vote, and that was when there was a thing put on that 18-year-olds should be able to vote because they're going to war. And I thought that was pretty legitimate. I happened to be about 18 at that time.
The 26th Amendment was passed.
Yeah, and I think other than that, I think we've gotten most of the people now can vote that should vote.
Unless the state legislatures do illegal things like they're doing in 17 states and now Texas, trying to make it impossible for many people, particularly disabled or young or of color, to vote.
I'm not as opposed to the thing where they say you should have an ID to vote. I don't mind that.
Well, but they don't allow a college student ID, but they allow a gun registration ID. Can you figure that out in Texas?
I cannot. But I think if at birth you received, along with your birth certificate, a voter eligible card for when you turn 18, they could follow you through your entire life, and it seems more logical, and that way everyone would have one. But there are things like, not allowing people to drive up and vote because they've got five kids in the back seat, how ridiculous is that? What are the kids in the back seat going to do to change your vote?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And they've gone too far, and the governor's out of control, thinking he's going to arrest and imprison all these people. It's not going to happen, believe me. It's just an empty threat, and he makes himself look like a total moron.
Well, quite frankly, I would say right now, an awful lot of people who are backing the Republican slate are looking like morons. Please, my Republican friends, I'll still love you, always love you. And I think there are tons of good people, but there are also some pretty crazy people leading your party.
The point is, though, people, not so much people you know necessarily, but there are people who we may know who we think are decent human beings, and they're really not if they're backing these kind of crazy things.
Yeah, it's kind of showing their true colors. Yeah. Oh, me. It's really frustrating to watch this happen. But we'll get through it. And one of the things, my wife is wringing her hands every day. Oh, how
are you
doing
with her on that?
I'm sorry?
I join with her on that.
Well, I'm one of those people that say we have too many smart people in this country. They're going to find a way to get through this, and I'm hoping that's true. I try to not scream at the TV. I just say, well, that's terrible. Let's hope the smarter heads will prevail. And so far, I've been, for 75 years, I've been pretty lucky with smarter heads prevailing. Now, during the Vietnam War, some of the smarter heads didn't prevail initially, but eventually they did. So that's why I'm hoping on the goodness of the American people. And let's hope it stays. Well, let's hope it may take a long time to get here, but let's hope the goodness of the American people. And, all my Christian friends, I wish they would find Christ again. They seem to have lost.
Yes, it would be nice. Also, Orthodox Jews, the group that seems to like Donald Trump, many of them, that they would come back to reality.
Yeah.
Not just evangelical Christians, but also Orthodox Jews.
Yeah. And if you're going to be claim to be religious, act like your religion.
That's what I say. I'm not religious in quotes, but I am religious in quotes.
Yeah.
The way I treat people and all that, and that's what really annoys me about these people. And that includes the issue about these pastors who have fantastic homes and mansions and.
Yeah.
And airplanes, and I say they should be taxed on that, because that should not be so. You don't enrich yourself on your congregants.
I remember my father really concerned because they were talking about taking the tax provision away from churches, but that was because my dad's church may
have
800
mansion,
people. I'm sorry?
He didn't have a mansion.
No, well, we had a parsonage. We lived in a church-owned house.
Okay, but it wasn't a multi-million dollar estate.
No, it was very, they were always very nice, but they were never a multi-millionaire.
And they never had a big plane, they didn't like what some of these pastors have now.
And Dad didn't make any more than, let's say, a teacher. That was about what he made. So
yeah. But some of these pastors, they make so much money.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's frustrating.
And meanwhile, many of the congregants are poor, and they don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand it. I also don't understand also why we can send a rocket up in the air costing millions and millions and billions of dollars to get it up in the air. Why didn't why don't those people that do that for a lark, why don't they give that money to the people that need it?
No, and the billionaires don't want to pay any taxes, and they don't really care about anything but their own egos. There's a lot of mental instability among these people who think everything revolves around them, you know.
Dr. Feynman, I have to help one of our contest winners out. So,
okay, sure.
Thank you very much for yeah, you got it. All right, we're done with that. That was easy. Well, our people can come in off the street and talk to us while we're having our shows go on. I'm sorry about that.
That's very small D Democratic.
Very small D. Yeah. And now we have another one. So you keep on talking, okay, Dr. Feynman?
I'm laughing.
Find
it's
out
just
who
so
this
funny.
Is. Okay. Hang on. Sarah, won those tickets. And she says, hi, Dr. Feynman.
So, hi there.
You know she's listening.
That's funny.
All right. Very good. Okay, well, let's go down. What do you think we should do as a country for the two Caribbean things, Haiti and Cuba?
And actually, 2 weeks ago, we needed to think about it. Neither one was an issue. But
right.
Then we had the assassination of the Haitian leader, and now the uprisings in Cuba. Well, the government, at least officially, is saying, telling people don't come running here.
Yep.
You know, we don't want to have you come in. But as far as Cuba, that's the bigger issue because of the Cuban population in South Florida and elsewhere. And some of them want military intervention, but I don't know. I would just say we're going to get involved in a new conflict, and it doesn't just involve Cuba. It also involves, even though it's not so much Russia anymore directly, there's still other nations that are authoritarian who will oppose, and it could create an international crisis. So I don't know.
Well, Cuba is still communistic, correct?
Yes.
All right. So if we would go down there and try to have another Bay of Pigs, we would be...
Hopefully better than the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah, that was terrible. But we would again be butting heads with the communist powers, I would assume.
Yes. Of course, Russia officially is not a communist power, but since its leader was a communist, it really is. But
yeah.
I would call it more fascist Russia now. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to look, I live among people, I have a neighbor who's Cuban here.
Sure.
I haven't asked him how he feels, and he came from Cuba, but I don't know. I don't think the government wants to get involved in another military operation.
I don't think they should.
I don't think, other than economic aid, we're going to be able to do much. It's just sad what happened there. And it did alarm me to worry that if that could happen there, how do we know our leadership is safe? You have to always wonder about inside, people that might be wanting to harm our president or vice president. I worry about it.
I'm always worried about that, too. But, I was more worried when President Obama took reins because he was the first black president.
And he had more death threats.
He was actually the first.
Anybody since Lincoln, as I wrote about in my book.
Yeah.
Assassination threats to the American president.
And you're an expert on assassinations, which is kind of surprising to say.
Why is it surprising?
I don't know. It's kind of creepy to know that one of my friends is an expert on assassinations.
Well, I don't think I've told many people. When I was in college as a freshman, long ago, I was in English class. I had to do a term paper. This was 1962. And what was my choice? Lincoln's assassination.
There's...
The year before Kennedy was. So ever since then, I've always been fascinated by the topic.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. It was a year before the Kennedy assassination.
Yes, but I guess I was destined to write a book on assassinations.
Yeah. Well, and there is a lot, I think, that still is left to be known about both of those assassinations, don't you? Maybe they know most of it. But
I would say most, but there's still conspiracy theories
of
Kennedy, yes.
Well, and
all the conspiracy theories in the book, yeah.
People are still saying that Booth got away with it. There are people that say he never got...
Well, there is some... There are some people who believe that the person who was actually Booth escaped to Nevada at that point.
Yeah.
Died in 1903, supposedly. But every indication is that Booth was killed in Maryland, I think 12 days after the assassination. But there's always going to be those, just like, don't forget, our good friend Donald Trump claimed that, of all people, Ted Cruz's father was one of the people involved in the Kennedy assassination. Can you believe that?
Well, that's true, isn't it?
And after all that, and after Donald Trump said Ted Cruz's wife is ugly, they end up going to the White House for dinner. He forgets it all.
Well, one thing about Ted...
What a monstrous individual.
One thing about Ted Cruz's wife is she's a lot prettier than he is handsome with that nasty beard of his.
Not only that, but I think he looks like the devil. He has a devil look, like he should play that role in the movies, you know? Something about him, I think he is a disgraceful human being. And I want to point out Lindsey Graham, who's someone nobody really thinks an awful lot of because he's totally manipulates and changes every day. He has actually said that, he actually said this years ago and chuckled about it, that if Ted Cruz, something happened to Ted Cruz and his life ended, nobody would be mourning it in the Senate.
Yeah.
Can you imagine somebody saying that?
Yeah, I can, about him.
it's just, but that's what I said, you know, you and I agree, Lindsay. One thing.
Oh, my.
That's just crazy.
Now, what...
He doesn't care about that, but Ted Cruz doesn't care that that was said about him. He probably laughs it off, and it's friendly with Lindsey Graham.
I think these guys must have vests of steel that they don't... that. Things that are being said about them by their own people are just bounce off of them.
But what gets me with Cruz is, I think I may have said once, in 15 and 16, when the race was starting for 16, I thought Trump was horrible, but I actually thought Cruz was more dangerous. Can you believe that? And look what happened with Trump.
Yeah.
And the idea that Cruz is talking and already flirting with the idea of running in 2024, it scares me to death, because I think he actually is possibly even worse.
Well, now... The difference between those two is one doesn't give a tinker's damn about what he says. He doesn't even think of that he's lying when he is lying. The other one, I think, at least understands when he's lying.
Which one understands when he's lying?
Cruz.
I don't know about that, because he's making fun of these people escaping from Texas. Well, he escaped to Mexico during the power blackout.
Well, you know,
the contradiction in what he's saying.
That's kind of something that Scott brought up, but I don't think those are similar. But
well, I think Ted Cruz should not be in the Senate, but he won, and
So
the people get what they deserve, I guess. But Texas is a total disgrace. I really mean it, with the way it runs its government.
I think if we can find a way to get true representation, number one, throw out the, I'm not a big fan of the Electoral College, throw that out, and if we get one person, one vote on all things, I think, because we've really pretty much proven, and the guy that was in charge of it was a Republican, that in this last election, he pretty much proved that there is no election fraud.
There was no election fraud in Texas. They even admitted it last week as they started pushing the bill they're trying to get through. So they're lying to their teeth, and now they're saying they're going to arrest people for trying to prevent the disgrace of Texas?
Well, and there's a state that wants... it's Oklahoma, that one of the state Congress people has brought up the idea that they should start a recount on that vote, even though... Every single county voted in favor of Trump. Well, the reason why they're doing things like this is to cast dispersions upon our voting system, even though we now know that
nothing
happened. There's no fraud.
And went for Trump. I have to say, Oklahoma was once Native American, and Neil Gorsuch said half of it is Native American. I say make it no longer a state. Take it away from the Republicans. Make it a territory and let the Native Americans run it. They'll do a better job than the whites have done there.
Oh, absolutely.
They're despicable. Oklahoma is such an embarrassment. You know, actually, in some ways, worse than Texas, but Texas matters a lot more because it's got a lot of electoral votes and it's got the second highest population to California.
But I was shocked that every single county in in Oklahoma voted for Trump. But, you know, that's fine. If we are going to have honest-to-goodness elections, that's great. Everybody voted. I'm glad to hear that everybody voted there. Then once they voted, you're done with it. You don't go back and re-judge it four times in a row, like Arizona's on their, what, third count or something like that. And that, I'm so tired of looking at that picture on TV with all those people in that gym with different color jumpsuits on. What the heck are they doing?
And by the way, Arizona was the 48th state, the last one until Hawaii, Alaska and Hawaii. So maybe we should reconsider. I'm joking here. Arizona maybe a territory, not a state. That's another Republican, although this time it did go for Joe Biden. But if we take that away, don't forget the Republicans created two Dakotas so they'd have more senators. So that's why we should have D.C. and Puerto Rico.
Absolutely should have D.C. added. I'm not sure about Puerto Rico because I'm not sure the people of Puerto Rico want to be a state. But if they do, I think we should entertain having them become a state.
On my blog about the way the U.S. Senate has become, it is a fact that 15 states with a total of 38 million people elect 30 Republican senators, 15 states, dedicated to negativism and stalemate, while California, with 40 million, 2 million more than the 15 states, have two Democratic senators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the population trends of the nation moving forward, by 2040, 70% of the nation will be represented by 30 senators, and the remaining Americans, disproportionately white, older, and more rural, will have 70 U.S. senators. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
It is kind of crazy, but I think that in the... In defense of our forefathers, I think that's kind of the way they wanted to do it. They wanted to make sure that rural people had an equal vote to the townsfolks. And,
but is it equal when they'll have 70 senators and the urban areas will have 30?
Well,
with more people?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But there is the Congress that's voted.
The House, you mean, yeah.
I'm sorry.
The U.S. House.
The House that's voted more... down the one-person, one-vote thing.
But now, the problem is the Senate stands in the way of progress with the filibuster, and just generally, they're negative. They don't want to do anything. They hold up everything.
That's
why the Senate's out of control. It really is. But there's nothing easy that can be done any more than the Electoral College. It's in the Constitution, so we're stuck.
I don't mind the problem that democracy is difficult to do, takes a while, that I don't mind that I'm aggravated to high heaven about what the Republicans are doing, because I think there are smarter heads that eventually will prevail and care about the Constitution of the United States. I don't know. Maybe I'll...
I am not so optimistic the way things are going now.
I'm sorry.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I'll stop being optimistic.
I'm just saying that optimism is fine, but we need to see some action, and that's why I'm hopeful that we could get at least all the Democrats, including Sinema and Manchin, together and get things done by reconciliation. Otherwise, we're just wasting time and everything is going to get worse.
I'm not so certain that that won't happen. I think, though, that it's a good idea that we have people like Sinema and Manchin that are willing to fight to do what they truly believe. I think eventually they may come to see that... they need to give a little because the other side is not going to give.
Well, if they do that now, they will get voting rights in. Otherwise, Texas is going to win the day, and we're going to have an awful lot of people, mostly poor or minority or young, who are not, or disabled, who are not going to be able to vote.
Yeah, I hear you. I know, and I know it frustrates me as much, but I think this nasty, dirty, political democracy that we have is good. I think you don't, if you get what do we have, 330 million,
32 million, I think.
Yeah, okay, we've got that many people. That means we probably have that many different ideas on how to run the government, so you can't have it clean. It's not going to be clean, yes or no. So this
well, it's
is
also a whole lot of people who don't even know what's going on. That's what worries me. Ignorance, lack of knowledge.
Yeah, that bothers me too. And I used to say all the time on this show, please educate yourself. But I don't do that anymore because the people that want to educate themselves are going to educate themselves, and they're going to care about what's true and what is not. And right now, we've kind of gotten into two camps, one that will believe anything that their master tells them, and the other that will argue with themselves because they want to be right. And I'd rather be right than be a frog, a toad that follows along.
Yes, I want to also point out that the white supremacy march in Philadelphia on the 4th of July is very alarming. I wrote about it last week. And, it reminds us of what happened in Charlottesville 4 years ago.
Say that again.
I said the white supremacy march in Philadelphia on the 4th of July.
Oh.
It was very alarming. It reminded us of the tragedy of the Charlottesville, Virginia march 3 years ago. But now at least they've brought down the statues in Charlottesville of the Confederate leaders. They did it in the last few days, so that was good.
I think we ought to work harder on truly fighting for democracy than worrying about the statues. Now, I don't like having the statues up, but I think we need to focus on doing the right thing for the majority of our people, and I don't know how we do that.
Well, but I think those statues represented the endorsement of slavery and the Confederate side of the Civil War, and they lost.
I understand that. And I agree. That's one of the things I'd like to see done, but that's not high on my list.
But think about those statues. They're not going to be destroyed. They're going to be put into museums, and I've seen some in museums. That's fine. It just should not be in the public square, is what I'm saying, because it represents a viewpoint that that too many people still think is okay, which is not.
I think we ought to learn how to educate people to the fact that it's not okay, and not worry about the statue so much. But that's a tough thing to do. Education is hard, and it requires. Ask a teacher how. It's hard to educate somebody, especially.
And now it's concerning that these states are trying to prevent teachers from teaching the true story of American history.
And I think that should be thrown out with the poopy water.
If that was the rule and I was young, I'd have to say, oh boy, I'm going to have to get another career because I would not be told how to teach American history and ignore what happened to Native Americans, ignore the horrors of slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, ignore the anti-Asian, discrimination and marches and massacres that took place. I just couldn't do it.
I think I've mentioned this before, but my father was criticized immensely for teaching. He was, as everybody seems to know, Dad was a Methodist minister, but he taught historical critical religion. That's the type that he felt was honest, and that meant that you don't have to say that there was a giant ark that took two of every animal and that's what saved the world. You can say it was an analogy of what could go on. And I think we've got to learn to start listening to what people are saying and not the words they say. I don't know. I hope that there are enough smart people in this country.
There is a museum in northern Kentucky that, of course, promotes the idea the Earth is 6,000 years old.
I do know that.
And people actually go there.
Oh, I'd like to go there just to
see it, but it's just crazy.
It
How
is.
Can people say that?
I don't know. I really don't know. And there are still people that think the Earth is flat, so there's...
And think that John F. Kennedy's still alive.
Oh, that's true, though. Oh, my.
Oh, my God. And he's with Elvis.
Yeah, they're buddies.
It's crazy.
One of the... I had another question that I was going to ask you. The Michigan judge who has ripped the Republican lawyers.
Yeah, Linwood and
oh my goodness, what bravery.
What's that?
What bravery on that judge's... Now, she's got everything going in her favor, but she basically told... you know.
Lynn Wood and Stephanie Powell. Or, no, not Stephanie. Sydney Powell, yeah. Well, they should be disbarred like Giuliani has been.
And she basically said, the judge basically said that there would be consequences. There would be judgments.
Be.
Yeah.
And I think it shouldn't just be disbarment. I think for both of them and for Giuliani should be prison time. I really believe that.
Well, what would the law be? I guess lying to the courts.
Lying to the courts and promoting untruths, you know, making up stories. Giuliani, you imagine this was the once mayor that everybody saw as a hero, although he was over-exaggerated, because all we did is walk the streets after. It wasn't like that he really made a difference. He was much overdone, but he was still a hero, and he's so disgraced himself now.
Well, wasn't he in charge of of New York when they had the stop and frisk laws?
Yes.
Where they could stop anybody?
Yep.
And the reason why they stopped people is because they were darker skinned than they
yes,
were.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, it's nothing. But the thing is, about 9/11, even Joe Biden once made a comment years later that after you talk about 9/11, what is there to say about Giuliani? And Giuliani hates him ever since, and that's why he went after him now trying to destroy his victory. I really think there is a connection that, you know, because he really is annoyed that, I know he's annoyed that he was made fun of by Joe Biden, like maybe in 2008 when Biden was running and Giuliani was running to be the nominee, possibly, and that came up, and I laughed and I said, you're right, Joe. What is he actually done that's good? So he's there, it happens, and okay, he's in the aftermath, he's the mayor for a couple of months more. Big
yeah.
deal. But whoever the mayor was, it would have been the same result.
Lately, they've been putting clips on TV about what Giuliani did during his tenure as mayor, and I'm a little surprised that I didn't think he was a creep back then.
No, because for a Republican at that point, he was, quote, liberal, whatever
yeah,
that
I guess,
meant.
Yeah.
But his and even 08, 07, 08, I remember thinking, among all the people who were thinking of running, I said, gee, no, he's not he's better than some of them.
Yeah.
I didn't say I would vote for him, but I thought he was a front runner in 07. And I thought, well, you know, he's not the worst person. But then I also said that about Mike Huckabee of Arkansas. Look at the monster he became. So these people,
yeah.
at their age, they should have left politics back then, and they still would have had a reputation. They've destroyed their reputation by being around too long.
Well, since we've touched on New York, what do you think of the new voting situation where you have to pick your top five candidates?
I think it's weird. I'm not sure I like it, but it's clear that Adams did come out number one, so we're going to have a second black mayor, and he's certainly not considered liberal. He's considered right down the middle.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the right way to be right now, because the present mayor, I'm not overly impressed with, even though he's so-called a liberal. I don't just go by whether you're a liberal. It's what you say and what you do, you know?
Yeah, and he's recently had some questions about his ability and his ethics himself.
New York City mayoralty is always an office that's going to draw a lot of controversy.
Yeah, sure.
And I imagine even with this new mayor almost certainly coming in, I have a feeling that that he's going to end up in all kinds of controversy just by the nature of it.
It's kind of a shame that that's the way our mayors are. My brother ran for mayor of South Bend, Indiana, one time. And upon his announcing, he didn't win, by the way, and he was a Republican, but upon announcing, he got phone calls from people. I remember one specifically. The guy said, well, if you become mayor, I will give you $10 a ton for every ton of sand or something or other that you buy from me. Which is corruption. And that's
unbelievable. Yeah,
he wasn't even nominated. I mean, he wasn't even going to be. He hadn't been voted in yet, and somebody called him and said, "I'll give you money if you when you become mayor." Is that well? That seems to be where politics are right now. Money does everything.
Yes, which it's always been a problem, but it should not be that way. But that's why a person like you couldn't win, because you have principles.
Well, that's maybe a little highfalutin for me. Principles might be a little overstated.
Well, I admire you, and I think you would have made a great representative.
Thank you very much. Well, on that note, I'm blushing. We're down to the last 3 minutes, so talk to me about what we need to talk about. Is there something that we need to talk about next week, or is there something we haven't talked about today?
Oh. Well, obviously, the whole issue of what's going to happen with voting rights in the next few
yes.
weeks. Yeah.
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 Now, that's really important, yeah, voting rights. And I think they keep sounding very positive. The Democrats I listen to sound positive that they're going to get, Bill 1 and 4, I think it is, that they're going to get them through reconciliation. Yeah.
I hope they will, yes. Yeah. I also want to point out what I think I've said before.
Okay.
It's a 50-50 Senate, but if anybody dies, we have so many people. We have 30 members of the Senate over 70 and into their 80s. We actually have 25 in their 70s and 5 in their 80s, and 18 of the 30 are Democrats. The other 12 are Republicans. And if a Democrat dies in office, it could be any age, but some of the older ones, suddenly the Republicans take over the Senate before 2023. That's what scares me to death, you know?
Well, the Republicans have shown that they'll do just about anything to win. Don't put that in their minds.
Well, also one of the Republicans could die. You know, like just like Mitch McConnell is already 79, and the Iowa senator is 87. But I'm just saying that there are more Democrats who are in their 70s and 80s.
I didn't know that.
And it's just scary as hell. You know,
it is scary. Well, I hope that I just can't believe that. People like McConnell, he's got to be smart enough to open his brain up and know that he's being on the bad side of...
He doesn't care. Chuck Grassley is always thinking of Iowa. Is 87. He's thinking of running again in 88. I'm sorry. That's not a good idea.
Maybe I ought to run again.
Why don't you run for the Senate?
There you go.
Maybe try to stop Tim Ryan and be the Democratic nominee and fight against J.D. Vance or fight against, Josh Mandel. That would be an interesting race.
Well, I like Tim Ryan, and I just sent a message to him that I would help him in every way but cash because I don't have any. So we'll see if he gets back with me. I don't know. But we're down to our last 40 seconds. Is there anything else we need to take care of before we close the day?
No, I'm very happy that you're giving giving awards to several people on the show is on. That's really good.
we're having fun. Scott and I have a great
thanks
day.
Again for everything. We always have a great time.
Okay, well, thanks again, Dr. Feynman, for coming on A Progressive Life.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Dr. Feynman, and he has written a couple of books about presidential assassinations that are, I'm told, very good, and I have not read them yet, but I will. All right, have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH
and you're listening
Radio
to us.
107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk.